Welcome back to another episode of the Strive for 25 podcast. Yeah, in our mini series, 100 Stories of Increasing Income. And I've got a friend of mine on with the Stay Winning Pod, Hugo. We got YouTube, we got X monetized on both of those. And he's a real estate guy as well. And we'll save that for a different episode. But this is going to be focused on monetizing on YouTube and also X. So,
hey, Joe, what's up? Good morning. Thank you for having me on. How you doing?
I'm doing really good, and you're in California, so you're up early with me, so I appreciate it. So YouTube is Stay Winning Pod, X is Stay Winning Pod as well.
Correct.
So if someone goes to your channel, what should they expect to find?
A very unique approach. I'm the only channel out there that's bridging the gap between traditional finance and Web3 finance, which is blockchain and crypto technology. So they can expect that. They can expect information on small businesses, like how to get started, how to start your LLC, how to build business credit, personal finance, the traditional. This is how you invest. This is what a savings account is, what a CD account is. All my real estate stuff, which I take a lot of pride in that. I'm a millennial and investing in Southern California. So there's not many that are in my niche that can tell the same story that I'm telling. And then let's see what else. Personal finance, crypto, business, real estate. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So if someone's listening to this episode and they're thinking, hey, you know what? I have a message, or I have a mission, or I have something I want to be able to put out there. Is YouTube, is X, is it saturated? Is there space for me to be able to go build my niche and brand and go make money in the future?
If I have the correct definition of saturated, and again, I apologize because English isn't my first language, I don't think it's saturated. I think there's still an abundance of opportunity out there, because our life is only going to get more digital, and everyone's story is unique, right? So are there people talking about fix and flips? Yes. Are there people talking about long-term rentals? Yes. But no one's talking about that the way I'm doing it as a millennial in Orange County, California. Like, I can say that about myself, that I'm in one of the top most expensive markets in the nation. So if you feel that your story is not good enough, if you feel that it's saturated and you're listening to this, my suggestion is ignore that. You have your own unique story, your own background that got you from point A to point B. And now you can vlog and show the world how you're going to get to point C, whether it's YouTube or X.
So I want to start with YouTube. You know, you've gone through the process and doing this all on your own to get through the criteria to get monetized. What's the one thing that you've learned that you didn't expect to learn along the way?
One thing I learned that I didn't expect to learn. Oh man, how steep that hill is.
Okay.
That's a steep hill to climb. And by I mean that hill, I mean the monetization requirements, which is 1,000 subscribers, 4,000 watch hours, all within a 365-day rolling period. I really learned how steep that hill is. The average channel gets monetized in 22 months. I was fortunate enough to do it in 13 months during the bear market. Right. So if I upload a crypto video now, it's going to do way better than what a crypto video was doing 6 months ago, just based on where the market is at.
Right.
Because people tend to follow trends. So if you're listening out there and you're considering making a YouTube channel and it's related to finance, it's probably a better time to jump in now than when I did during the bear market, because people are now looking for those alternate investments, those additional streams of income. But that's what I learned, man, how steep that hill is.
Is it the subscribers? Is it the video quality? Is it the watch hours, the keeping the, you know, what is it about it that's steep?
The watch hours, 4,000 watch hours in a 365-day rolling period.
Okay. So to give context, I started a YouTube channel, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago. And I've got like, maybe 3 weeks ago. And it's got like 70 watch hours. So 4,000? 4,000? I got a steep hill to climb. And it's a side thing that I've been working on. So, okay.
Yeah.
That 4,000 hours.
Is your goal to get there and to get monetized? Or you just
my goal with that is for when I want to be able to educate the clientele in that Florida market. And then when a realtor sees me that, hey, I'm putting out good content, putting out educational stuff that's going to be helpful to a client or to a realtor. So it's really a resume type of thing. Okay. This guy's not just a lender. He's trying to do more than that. So monetization would be just a very simultaneous thing along that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's the age we're at now. So whatever business you're in, right? Lending, for example, social media is proof. People look at it as proof. So I'm glad you're doing that with your channel. I think it's a great approach. And then the monetization is just a cherry on top. But you have the proof, you have the vlog, you have the timestamp. Hey, yeah. I know myself. This is when I did it. This is who I am.
Okay, so to kind of rewind, okay, so you got monetized in 13 months.
Yeah.
You're combining the personal finance with crypto to millennial to Orange County to fix and flip, like all these things into you, your unique brand. And you've got this unique approach to the way that you communicate with your guests and the way that you are very calm and collected. You just have that unique, you know, kind of riff. So how did you pull it together? Where did you get your direction? You know, what was your baseline, your step one? Where did you even start to say, hey, you know, I have a shot, or I think I can do this?
Where was my step one? Man, you know what? I've always been complimented on my voice. I think when I was in banking at Wells Fargo and at Bank of America, 90% of those jobs were by phone. So I think that's the only reason why I had a job, and also because I speak multiple languages. So starting point was, luckily the bank, when I started there at 18, like they teach you the basics of finance because you have to learn the products, right? So if you're going to be cross-selling savings accounts, CDs, brokerages, accounts, you have to understand what those products are and what they do. And you always have to sell the benefit to the customer, which is like a 4% rate, if it's a CD, or if it's locking in a 3% rate on a mortgage. So luckily that made me, or that helped my financial literacy route. And then I knew when I moved out of my parents' home, single parent family home, I wanted to move out as a homeowner, not as a renter. Because I remember, and this is before like ACH and mobile applications, I remember the landlord coming to collect rent in a brand new Hummer. And I would just ask myself, why are we the person giving them money? You know, how do I become the person that receives the money instead? So it's not like a one thing flip, but a collection of things where I felt, hey, maybe this is a great fit for me. And I'm doing what a lot of people want to be doing and wish they could be doing. Mm-hmm. And there's people out there that grew up with many more resources than I did. So if I can accomplish XYZ by a certain age with minimal resources, I'm thinking, hey, let me show all these people with abundance of resources how much more they can win. I majored in radio and television and film. And the reason why I chose that degree is because I understood the power of film. You can create so many emotions by what you show on the screen, right? So if you look at a few years ago, they were showing people just collapsing in the street and the whole world just got scared. Some of us didn't buy it, but you know, that's another topic in conversation, right?
Right.
So I figured if I can use the same power to portray a positive message, I can live with that. I can die happy knowing that I helped someone go from A to B or from B to C. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So along the way in your journey, you know, if someone were to listen to this episode and take the you know, simple guide that we're going to be able to provide, what's the first step that the person needs to do to be able to start a YouTube channel?
What's the first thing they need to be able to do?
Mm-hmm.
Stop giving a fuck what people think.
Okay.
The video is going to suck. Your editing is going to suck. You're going to stutter. You're going to forget your words. That's okay. That's part of the process. As soon as you can overcome that fear of how you're going to be projected, I promise you, that's how winners are made. They're the ones that take the first step while everyone else decides to wait. And that gap keeps widening the more you keep doing it. So that would be probably the first step to take, is get over that fear of what people think and how you're going to come across.
So let's say you're 10 videos in and it's like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm overcome this fear. I'm putting stuff out there. What's the, beginner type of tactic or skill that someone needs to be learning?
I say this a lot, man, stamina. In this case, it would be mental stamina. Because you might be 10 videos in, you might just have 50 subscribers, probably not even that. You might just have 200 views. And you're probably feeling like, man, no one's listening. No one gives a fuck. No one cares. Let everyone else think that. If you don't think that, or if you can bypass that mentality and oversee through that, you're going to win. Just keep going. All you need is one video. One video can change your whole life. I mean, I didn't have that. I had to build a bunch of videos, but there's some people that the one right video just changes their life.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because, you know, there's a video that I came across not too long ago. It's Gino Auriemma, I think, is the UConn women's basketball coach, and he's talking to his players, and he's like, you know, the people that come here, you know, we don't manage energy and showing up every day. We expect it. And he kind of goes into the fact that, like, you know, the difference between the best players and the greatest players is that when the game's on the line, you know, the best players get tired, and the greatest, they don't get tired. Like, that's the difference between the best and the rest, is not getting tired when the moment comes. And you mentioned stamina, 100 days in, 1,000 days in, and when you don't want to do it, to keep on going. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And that reminds me of two things, one a basketball one and one a movie, because I know you're a basketball guy. So yeah, there was a time when Jordan had fever and he was still in the court.
Yeah.
That's how important the game was to him. And, you know, people can argue about who's the best, but his name will always be mentioned when that conversation comes up. And then number two, there's the movie Limitless. And I think Robert De Niro tells, I forgot the other guy's name, as far as like how to win in the game. It's like, you get hit by a car, you don't even die. You still come, you know, come in the office and make that money. And I tell that to my little brother, you know, if you get hit by a car, you still keep going. Like, let everyone else fall. Let everyone else complain. Let everyone else sit down in pain, take a time out. You just keep going.
So, okay, now I want to ask you a tactical question. So video, the number of videos to shorts, how many videos are you doing versus the number of shorts that you're putting out on YouTube?
Oh, that's a great timing for the question, because I just changed that strategy because I wanted to see something. But usually for every long-term or long-form video, I make 2 to 3 shorts. I can clip those and make 2 to 3 shorts. Recently, though, because I've been on channels that are not monetized, I feel more comfortable clipping from them to create shorts, because then I wouldn't be, you know, copywriting issues with the algorithm. So lately, I've been uploading nothing but shorts this past week. And I do see my subscriber base growing faster.
Okay.
Than I upload the long term or the long form videos.
How long do you keep your long form? What's your typical time frame? 6 minutes, 12 minutes, 30 minutes? What's your typical?
Oh, maybe that's a great question. Cause so for anyone listening that's thinking about monetizing, right? If your video is 8 minutes long, then that video becomes eligible to have ads in the middle of the video. So that video is going to potentially make you more money than if the video is 7 minutes and 30 seconds long.
Interesting. That
30 second difference now makes you eligible for an ad in the middle, and you could potentially make double the money.
Okay.
Especially if a lot of times people are only have like a 60 to 70% retention, meaning they're going to drop off at minute 4, at minute 5. Right. So at that point, you don't have to worry that they didn't see the ad at the end because they saw the ad in the middle.
Oh. So when you're crafting a video plan, you know, do you have a format that you follow regularly? Do you just wing it? What's your process?
There's not really like a specific process, but I do like to keep consistent with in the first 15, 20, maybe even 30 seconds. Have like some text just like boom in people's faces, with something that's kind of like a hook. So if I make a crypto video about a meme coin, I'm going to show the 200,000% gain like in the first 15 seconds.
So you're like a graphic will pop up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it would be like, you know, you tune into this video because you want to get into meme coins and make these type of gains. And then boom, that 200,000% is on the screen. Right. And then the text will be like, let me show you how, and then roll my intro. So that means, okay, I got to keep, the watcher says, I got to keep looking at this because I want that 200 gain. Now, the reason to do the text is because, and they're, I mean, anything can change at any time, but, and they're talking about changing this, but when you're scrolling on your mobile phone through the app, it starts playing a part of the video without audio. Hence why I think the text is really important in the beginning, because it's the type of animation that the person sees when they can't hear your video. So you're trying to use visuals to attract them to tap on the video and make sure they watch beyond those 15 second previews that the app shows you.
Love it. Okay. But yeah, definitely. You know, though it's the terminology hook, story, offer. I think I've read along the way. When someone's consuming your content, do you have an offer along the way that you're providing, or anything that you sell, any products or services?
You know, when I first started this, I kind of wanted to be the guy that never sold the course. Maybe that might change somewhere down the line. And the reason for that is because I wanted to grow so fast on social media, and I knew money could be made from the big guys through advertisement. But I am able, now that I've reached the monetization requirements, I am able to link up my merch store. So it shows up in the bottom of my YouTube video. So if people want to buy some merch, they can have some here. Should have worn it for the interview.
Yeah. What does that say? FOMO?
Yeah, fear of missing out.
Okay.
And then I'm going to start selling Snick Energy on there too.
So just real quick, Snack Energy, what that's tied to a crypto meme coin, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. For two sentences, what does that even mean?
So Cardano is a blockchain, and in that blockchain you can create tokens. And one of the tokens that was created was a meme coin named Snack, which just turned a year yesterday. And in order to bridge the gap between Web 2 and Web 3, or traditional finance and internet money, one of the best marketing strategies that the team came up with was an energy drink. So when people be like, hey, what's Snack? Then you can introduce into crypto versus the other way around.
I think I saw a Twitter post or X post of you know, getting in at some point, and the return was like 1100% maybe, or does that ring a bell? I'm blanking on the numbers.
Yeah, I posted that yesterday. So if you put in $100 a year yesterday, you would be up over $81,000 today.
$81,000. $100 to $81,000.
Okay. That's if you held for until today. If you cashed out at the peak, you probably could have had over $200,000 off that $100.
Okay.
So that's the power of meme coins. Luckily, I've been able to cash along the way and do some car repairs and even my mortgage with it.
What system or software do you use to edit your videos?
Oh, I switched between a couple, but I'm using Veed right now. V-E-E-D, V.io. And I'm very, very happy with it.
Okay. Cool. So,
for anyone listening, you don't think you need something fancy like Premiere, Final Cut? That's what we used at film school, and that's just way too much for a YouTube video.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did have Adobe Premiere for like a minute, but I didn't use it. So I stopped it. So I need to get into something. Okay, cool.
And here's the other thing too, right? It's like when you're first starting out, these videos are going to take up capacity on your computer. So if you can get a software like Veed, it would all be saved up on the cloud. So.
Okay. So like if I do a video, and let's say I do a Zoom and I'm sharing my screen talking about God knows what about mortgages, I can save the video, upload it into Veed, and then do all of the stuff. And then once it's there and I have an edited video that's ready to be able to publish, can I just publish it straight to YouTube from the software? Or do I have to re-download it back to my computer to then upload?
Oh, that I'm not sure. That's because I don't link up my socials to software, because I have a specific format that I like to follow. But that is a good question. I could find out before we're done recording this.
Well, so how do you do it then? So then you get the video completed in the editing process through Veed, and then just down to save it under.
And then I do download it and then upload it. And then once I do that, then I delete it.
Got it. And that's saved on Veed.
Yeah, it's saved on Veed.
Cool. Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. So you know, going through this process, right? It's a ton of time, ton of hours. You use the word steep. You know, what curse word can you say in a different language that you know that would describe the process? You know, how much time are you spending? Because you have a full time job, right? Like you're at work right now.
I'm at work right now.
How do you find time to do all this stuff?
You know, I'm glad you bring that up because if I can do it work in a full time job, just think about. Well, if you don't have a full-time job, how much time you can put into it? The most successful YouTubers out there are under 25. And the reason for that is because they don't have full-time jobs and they don't have kids.
Yeah.
So they don't have that type of responsibility that consumes a lot of your time and money and energy. So how do I find the time personally? Was that the question?
Yeah.
So on my regular 9 to 5, I do all my work in the morning. I try to get it done in the first half of my day. And in the second part of my day, I'm working on my craft. And luckily, I'm very blessed where I have my own office and it's in the corner. And I'm the top sales guy as well. So I can, you know, when you're the top sales guy, for anyone listening, you can be late. You can be late from lunch. You can take advantage and have all these extra perks because you're the one bringing in the bacon, you know?
That's right. Numbers talk. You're selling. Exactly. The dollars talk. Okay. What industry are you in?
Man, it's so specific, but I think
if you don't want to share this, okay.
Put a name, it's a litigation finance.
Okay. I understand what that means. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, there's only like 4 companies nationwide doing what we're doing, and we're number one. So cool. We're number one. So that's what I mean when I post on X. If I call you, it's because I have money for you. Like, that's not a joke.
Okay. I
really do.
On X, you had mentioned, you know, it's too expensive to come over and hang out. You know, the whole idea, okay, instead of going out, you know, stay in and hang out, right? Like, do you want to share a little bit about the rundown that you put out on X?
Yeah, for sure, right? This post came up because I noticed from my own personal life, like, hey, you know, you think you're saving money by just going to go hang out at someone's house, right? But the post eventually, and maybe post-edit, we could post this, is... it was a $7.20 toll road, and there's 4 toll roads that you have to take to get there. And it's a 1 hour and 15 minute commute one way, 1 hour and 15 minute commute the other way, right? So when you look, that's like 60 miles. So if your car gets 20 miles a gallon, that's what, 6 gallons at almost $7 a pop. So just on toll roads and gas alone, that's $50 and 2 hours of your time. Now, if you have kids, now you gotta have to pay a babysitter. If it's affordable, maybe it's $25 an hour. Remember, that's 2 hours of commute time, and you're only gonna hang out for 3 hours. So that's 5 hours. You could probably be there more. But now you're looking at $150 just for the babysitter. Now, you don't wanna be the person that shows up to someone's place empty-handed, right? I always, when I was growing up in college and stuff, I was like saying, hey, you either bring the drinks or you bring girls or don't show up. Right, it's all about adding value. Like, just live your life that way, guys, whoever's listening. So now you bring a pizza, now you bring wine, right? Now you want to impress me, so you want to bring a better wine. So now you're in another $100 just on pizza and wine, maybe, or $70 depending on what you choose. But when you do the math, that's $300, and you thought you're saving money. So now let's say you're gonna pitch in for a pay-per-view fight. You're in another $50. So that's what I meant by I'm so considerate of people's time and money, because I do believe time is money. And that scenario alone can cost you $300 or $400. So if people start thinking more about time being money, then they could be making better financial decisions.
So I'm guilty of this myself. I can hear something, I can be motivated in the moment by something, and then tomorrow happens and I forget about it, or I lose the energy to focus on it and make it a priority. Right. So it's like, you know, we have all these things that are out there on social media that you can consume. And, you know, if you've got a 9-to-5 job and a family or a significant other or whatever, it's so easy to just say, hey, oh man, like I know that I want to be working on my YouTube channel or my side business or my ex, whatever it is, to be able to get ahead, to potentially make your life, make work optional and go do the things you want to do and get out of your 9-to-5,
yeah.
You know, the whole kind of financial freedom idea. So it's, you know, 9 o'clock hits, it's like, oh man, I know that I need to be working on this. I'll do it tomorrow. And like, if you hit the I'll do it tomorrow button too many times, like that's where dreams go to die. I use the word the fringes in the morning or at night when it's like, I know I need to be doing that, but you know what? I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So in your specific circles, people, you know, family, friends, coworkers, you know, you're doing this, right? You're focused on your job, killing it in sales, and then also focus on the side thing that you're trying to be able to carve out to, I'm assuming, to be able to make work optional or go be able to do the things you want to do, financially freedom. Why do you do it? And why do you think other people don't do it?
Why do I do it with all that against me, you mean?
Versus why doesn't anybody else? Why don't most other people follow the same type of pathway?
Getting out of your comfort zone is scary. And being alone is scary to most people. I enjoy being alone. And I feel the most alive when I'm uncomfortable. And I'm very thankful that I feel that way, whether it's genetic or life experiences that made me that way. So that's why I do it. I was talking with a mutual friend that we have about this and like where this comes from. And I'm like, I keep on a tab on my testosterone levels because testosterone is, man, that makes you want to conquer the world. You know, so we can go into biology and take that route. But what makes me do it is, see, when everyone was, when that $2 trillion propaganda was going on, I was one of the few people not compliant. But I had a lot to lose. Now think about if I can have that same attitude, but with fuck you money. I'll be unstoppable. And I can, if these people, see, they say the love of money is the root of all evil. But I also understand that with money, you can do so many good things. And I want to use money as a tool for that. Whether it's starting a charity and helping first-time homebuyers, whether it's giving out scholarships because, and we probably saw this on X recently, like, I had to work during college. And one of the requirements to graduate is an internship. And I'm in Orange County, so I'm still like 45 minutes from downtown LA, assuming there's no traffic, which that's fake, right? Like, how am I going to give up my work hours to go do this internship to graduate? Like, that's just so unrealistic. And then competing with the kids that don't have to work and then go do the internship and they're living out my dream. Like, oh man, they're helping the director with that show. Like, they're helping the director with that movie. So this is one of the things you can do with money. It's like everyone needs like just that little boost once in a while. And a lot of times when I needed it, like it wasn't there for me. So I can go back and be like, hey, I know your situation. Like, here's that little boost. Like, go take that internship. Like, go live your dream.
The old saying, you know, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, right? We're talking about, you know, building something on the side, YouTube, monetization, you know, because this is a compounding thing. You know, growth is not linear. It's exponential. So you fast forward the clock 5 years, you know, who knows where your platforms are going to be. And then, you know, take Mr. Beast, you know, uploading videos for 7 years before you ever had more than 1,000 views. Like, that's just bonkers. Who can, no one's going to do that. Like, that's like 0.001% of people that can do that much work without having any results. That's so stamina, right? Like you mentioned before, I use the word gravity. You know, you're doing these things, you're creating this community around you. People are following your lead, so to speak. Is there people around you that you've known for a long time that are thinking to themselves, okay, if Hugo can do it, maybe I can do it as well. Do something along those entrepreneurial spirit lines.
Just one recently. Cause again, it goes back to, you can walk them to water, but they're not going to drink. And that's what separates the winners and the losers, I feel. There's this one person around me that's like, hey, he was doing it, like, let me go ahead and do it. And I'm mentoring them now and coaching them now. And they show up every day and they completely understand, like, a lot of this is going to be free for maybe a year or two. But I'm like, I promise you, by the end of 2025, I'm going to make you some money. Like I said, if I call you, I have money for you. Like, that's not a joke.
All right. All right. So I need to be programming your phone number and it's money into my phone. Answer that goal. Okay. So Back to a couple of things. We're running late on time. I don't want to hold you up. To tactical strategies. What's a couple of things you can share with us that, just from the YouTube editing or the process or approach, what's something that you can share that's been helpful or you've learned along the way that's helped your channel?
What you mentioned earlier, right, is like, how do you do all that when you have all these distractions, like a job, relationship, kids, et cetera? On YouTube, there's four different types of content that you can make, right? Your long-term or long-term, long, all this real estate talk, long-term rental, your long-form videos is one form. Your short videos are a second form. Live streams are a third form. And now you can make community posts on YouTube as well. So that's four different ways that you can go ahead and create. I think I forgot the question, but let me see this answers it. So when you don't feel like it, right? Oh, editing is going to take so much time. Cool. Then just do a live stream instead. You don't have to worry about editing. Oh man, I don't want to go set up the camera. Cool. Then just clip that previous video that you did and make it short. Oh, you're lazy. That same post on X is posted on YouTube. So you're still making content all the time and the algorithm will reward you for that.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? I kind of forgot what the question was.
Yeah, that answers the earlier one about how do you continue to do it with a full-time job. So just find time and do it. What's another strategy that you've used to be able to elevate or improve your content? Strategies or tactics or editing or just...
Yeah. If there's some type of huge breaking news, I will try to go make content on it right away. So this whole student loan thing, right? Like I knew it wasn't going to happen, but a lot of people still believe it is. So when they announce like, oh, the application is open or the deadline is arriving, or they just announced the changes or the requirements to the student loan forgiveness. Yeah, I put my work down and I was like, let me go record this right now. Mm-hmm. And my camera wasn't even on because I'm at work, right? I mean, now I kind of have a setup at work now. Like there's a light here now. You see what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I didn't have that before, right? Like, but that's what I mean. Like, luckily I have my own office where I can have this set up. So, because there's, we have a mutual friend maybe about that wallet. He does everything right. But he's in a job that doesn't allow him to do what I was just mentioning. If they announce those breaking news on student loans, I know people my age are just looking and want to eat that up.
Yeah.
I put my stuff down and I went ahead and recorded my screen and just read the article on the other screen.
Oh, wow.
I was showing just pictures of, you know, students protesting this and that. So if there's another tip or idea or something that could work for you, it's like if something is breaking news in your niche, try to go ahead and post about it. So I don't know if you're making content on Teslas and Tesla releases a new update, pull up the phone or pull up your screen or whatever and start talking about that. Those breaking news, you want to be the first ones at it. So when people start looking this up, see, YouTube is the second biggest search engine, right? So people are going to go to YouTube and look stuff up. So you want to be the first video that comes up.
Got it. Okay. So you got to be on top of the news. What about keywords or tags or headlines and SEO targeting and all that stuff?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. So around Black Friday, there was a sale for vidIQ, which promises you like algorithm and keywords and AI stuff, right? I knew I was getting close to monetization. I was like, okay, I'm going to start 2024 being monetized. So I got the Black Friday special for vidIQ and goes, oh, that's a good deal. Like it's going to help me grow even more. Don't get vidIQ. It sucks. My views dropped as soon as I got vidIQ.
Seriously?
Videos I uploaded recently that I didn't use vidIQ performed better than the vidIQ ones. So I thought it was going to be, I was going all in, right? Like I'm like, oh, I'm going to start making money. I could like invest this amount of money now. But that's been my experience with vidIQ and their SEO and their search and their AI stuff and the keyword stuff. So.
Damn, that's funny you mentioned that because I literally just started using it like three weeks ago.
Okay.
And it's not been. Yeah.
That's my personal experience with vidIQ. If you guys want to try TubeBuddy, I personally know some people that have spoken positively about it. However, they are getting paid by TubeBuddy, so okay. Something to think about. but personally, as far as what I use, I actually would go and type in the You want the title of your video to be most a question if you can't, right? Because again, it's a search engine. So in that video that I didn't use vidIQ and it got 1400 views in one day was the best strategy on how to find 100x meme coins. So you see how I put a question in there? How to find, right?
Okay.
So when people are searching how to find meme coins, like it's going to catch that.
Okay.
And then I go in and type that in. I see the other thumbnails that are catchy. I see which thumbnails are receiving the most views and go, okay, then if he's using green and this highlight purple, I'm going to use green and highlight purple or whatever and try to structure the thumbnail that way as well. So it looks like you belong when you're being searched up.
Okay. Because that was my next and last question was going to be thumbnails. So got to have thumbnails, right?
Yeah, you got to have thumbnails. Again, the vidIQ AI ones suck. Keep your text on your thumbnails to 4 words or less if you can.
4 words or less. Okay,
cool. Yeah, 4 words or less. So, for example, that video, I said, this could be you. And there was a little arrow pointed to the 200,000 plus gains. But in the title was the best strategy on how to find meme coins, right? Because that's what they're searching.
Mm-hmm.
But those 4 words, short, simple, easy to memorize, yellow text, bright, with the 200,000 plus. So love keep it. Your thumbnails to 4 words or less if you can. And if you want to follow the rule of thirds, you can definitely go ahead and do that as well, because the bigger YouTubers use the rule of thirds. So then, again, you look like you belong.
What does that mean, rule of thirds?
So you just draw like a tic-tac-toe box on your screen. And then use those frames to be like, okay, I'm going to fit myself on this third, or my eye is going to be like on this third of the box. My text is going to be on this third of the box. And then you usually just only need like 4 things tops. So the background, yourself, the text, and maybe some type of graphic.
Got it. Okay. And then do you use Canva? Yeah.
I use Canva, yes.
Okay. Cool. All right. So last thing for you. What's the year end goal?
That's a good question. I like to focus on what I do have control over. So my year end goal is to have 1,000 uploads on YouTube by the end of the year. And between X and YouTube combined, end December 2024 with an income of $1,000 just from YouTube and X alone.
Okay. Love it. And so video wise, you're at 324 right now. So get to 1,000.
Yeah, get to 1,000 by the end of the year.
Cool.
So again, that's that uphill battle that I've seen before, and I'm willing to do it. So for anyone listening, this is the way I see it. And you mentioned earlier as far as like it's being compounded, right?
Yeah.
Once I get to 1,000 videos, each one makes me 10 cents a day. That's $100 a day. That's $3,000 a month, especially in this money content. Like people are always going to search for the house. Like everyone's always going to go through that life stage. Like that video is going to keep getting videos forever.
I just think it's so interesting that we're talking about all this stuff. And there's so much tactics and strategy and processes and software and technology. And you really were focused on using the word stamina. And I just think that's so interesting because all that stuff changes. It's going to evolve over time, and just sticking with it and the consistency and just not stopping. Because if you don't stop, it's all going to just be a matter of time. But stay winning, Pod. Hugo, thank you so much for making time. Hope listeners got a lot out of this. And check out Hugo and Stay Winning on YouTube, on X, also on Instagram as well. talk soon and appreciate your time.
Hey, Joe, thank you so much. Appreciate you having me. Take care.
Absolutely.